Welcome, everyone, to the Wrestling Show Underground. I'm Kev Manning, along with Mr. Billy Body. Oh, good afternoon, good morning, Billy. How are you?
Couldn't be fresher off the back of Raw. We literally finished the show together the last, 5 minutes. Because we had an overrun this week of 3 minutes of extra, which I haven't done for a long time.
So we have quite a bit to get to today, and we're going to give it to you digestible within 40 minutes. So count on your clocks, ladies and gentlemen, because away we go. SmackDown, what were your takeaways right away? Because right off the bat, I just think of the woman's storyline, because I mean, it involved Mandy Rose, so of course I was interested.
That was a little up moment where I was interested, but I felt like, along with Austin, who I watched this with on Saturday morning, I felt like we suffered through 2 hours until The Fiend came out, and it does seem like that's the only reason to watch SmackDown. But in between that, there was this little bit with Mandy Rose, and I thought that they may have convinced her to shave her hair off when she went for those clippers, but then they didn't. So really, like, what they did for those people that don't know about women's hair, throughout the day, they clearly put in some hair extensions, which Mandy Rose's hair was longer because of that, and we saw it was longer because it's not been that long before. Because I did notice that she looked particularly good. She just looked better than even normal on this week's SmackDown, and I think it was the longer hair was a part of it. So what they do is that they glue in or they bond in these extensions, and usually, like, they glue them. There's a strip in there, and it goes right underneath your hair, and they glue it to your existing hair, and it makes your hair a lot longer. I had these before once because I got paid to have one of my haircuts done for a company in the UK, and it was shitty. I did the photo shoot and everything, but then afterwards I got my hair extensions in because I wanted it back to how it was. So what she did is she would have known where those hair extensions were because she would have been able to feel the bump, and she quite clearly cut them off. She would have had to trust her to do it in a way where she didn't cut her actual hair. I don't think she would have done that with another performer where she was, you know, worried about that or anything. But I'd be interested to see how much they sell that next week in terms of whether they do make her go a little bit shorter with her hair, or whether people are just going to be like, Mandy Rose is the hot girl with blonde hair, and we thought she had really, really long blonde hair the whole time when she actually hasn't. Or maybe the whole time, like most women, she was wearing extensions even to get it to that length. I have no idea. But I would be interested to see how short she comes out with her hair next week and where they go with this as well, because this feud is stopping and starting the whole time. Like, Sonya went away for a bit and they both went away. And
they're both on vacation together.
Right. And then they've come straight back into this feud that I thought was over and they could start something else, especially off the break. And then this is at the forefront of what Otis is doing. And this guy doesn't even walk around with his money in the bank. Do you think they're like trying to get people to forget that he won it? And like, they might just be like, oh, where'd that thing go? Like, it's not on TV. Geez.
Like, he'll never even try to cash it in.
It's not there though, is it? I mean, I wonder at this point if they'll just cash in on the tag titles because they seem to like maybe backing out of what they wanted to do.
I could see them cash in on the tag titles and him being the only one it would work with because, you know, he's the lovable moron.
Well, Tucker's back on TV. He was being kept away from him at one point.
Yeah. And with the Sonya Mandy thing, I really think it's going to go to a hair versus hair match because Sonya being the butchier lesbo, I think she doesn't have a problem if her head gets shaved.
Wouldn't she already be a butcho lesbo with the shaved head if she wanted that look anyways?
Yeah, but for work, you know, I'm sure she'd rather have her hair long. She doesn't seem like she's, you know, hardcore butchy. But I think if anybody's getting their fucking head shaved, it's her. I just think that's this kind of thing doesn't happen unless it's going there, kind of. Because then she picked up that buzzer, you know? So, I don't know. And I was even thinking, because, I mean, all these women have the extensions anyway. But what I was thinking was, well, maybe that's, you know, her regular hair, and in, you know, they're just going to take that amount off. It's not like they went up to her head to cut it, you know? So I'm like, it could be, what was that, probably 6-7 inches shorter?
On one side.
Yeah, so they're going to have to even it out next week, and it'll have to be semi-short. Not crazy.
I think it'll be like shorter, but I don't think that she had particularly long hair in the first place. She definitely
sort of be wore real hair.
She definitely wore extensions for this so it looked like she was cutting a more significant amount. Then I think what they'll do now is make her cut her real hair down to an amount which she's okay with, which will be a bob, which is fine because she's pretty, but Sonya is not going to look good with the skin. She doesn't even barely look good now. She needs to get a nose job. I don't understand why she doesn't. When you're in this company, you get the tit job and you get the nose job, and then she'd be all right. Like, I think Sonya wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, I could see the whole nose job thing, but hey, to each their own. If they would like, I mean, you got yours fixed, but hey, if they're not into
mine,
it.
Mine wasn't as bad as hers.
I always say she looks like she smelled something bad.
Yeah, it just changes the whole face. Like, I mean, it's just so noticeable. I mean, she's actually all right. Around, you know, aside from that. So the rest of the show was just a bunch of fucking matches that I didn't want to see. And the thing is they told you at the start of the show with Bruce Pritchard, his fucking fingerprints are on everything now. Like, in terms of, he did a whole podcast where he was like, oh, I like this, and we were so great when we did this, we're so great when we did that, in his opinion. But it's like, doing Saturday night's main event stuff when it's Saturday night's main event doesn't work when it's shitty matches on SmackDown that no one cares about.
What, and in that beginning, that opening where everybody's talking about having their match?
Yeah. It was. I almost feel like they even reused the Saturday night's main event track with that little tiny... what's it called? That consistent...
Yeah, I know that sound in the back, yeah.
Yeah.
It's barely music, but so old Shorty G is now a bad guy, and he's teaming with a guy he hated who made fun of him. And I'm like, is he gonna be like the court jester now? Is that what they're gonna do him?
Hold on, I didn't get this either. So I had this down to ask. Baron Corbin won the King of the Ring, right?
Yes.
So he's an actual king,
mm-hmm.
and he got loads of kings like money for it. So the prize for King of the Ring is that
a king's ransom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in terms with the crown and scepter and all that bullshit, you get Vince then gives you a king's budget. Like, he starts paying you. There was actually, behind the scenes, there was a huge contract that came along with it in terms of, okay, so you win the King of the Ring, and the real prize is the king's pay increase that comes with it. Because I don't understand how he's rich in real life when he won a storyline tournament. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He won the King of the Ring. He's not a king with all of the other stuff that comes with it. Jerry the King Lawler never even pretended that he was the $1 million man and that he lived in the palace and that he had unlimited riches as well. He was just the king of wrestling. This is so fucking dumb. Like, now it's like Corbin, Shorty G is doing like the whole money thing with his fingers. Like, Corbin now has unlimited resources to pay everybody to do whatever they want to Matt Riddle. I don't understand when he became rich. I understand that he won the King of the Ring, but I didn't understand the part where there was a financial payoff for that.
I even let that go past because I'm like, I mean, it is what it is.
You have to let shit go. You have to let shit go, otherwise you'll be picking apart everything.
Yeah. let's see. We get old Naomi with the dirt sheet. Thank you. And... Then we got to deal with the whole Lacey Evans thing still because of a karaoke match.
Yeah, and her being like a heel all of a sudden. they got a hashtag, right? You'd think, like, after the hashtag and all of that, like, campaigning for you to go out and have this push, that you'd go out and you'd pretty much be, like, perfect in the ring. Like, you'd be real tight. And you'd make this look good and you'd showcase your athleticism and everything. You wouldn't put a random botch in there that was circulating all over social media, and then have to come online and try and explain what the move was. And then people going online going, oh, this is Lacey's fault because she didn't take it this way. It's like, okay, so it's a hashtag, fine. But hashtags don't need to be acknowledged on TV. Mm-hmm. The way a hashtag works is when people are like behind somebody or they think someone's unfairly used. You don't come on TV and say, oh, we acknowledge that she was unfairly losing. We shouldn't have made her lose this fake match. And now she's going to win this fake match because we listened to you. How fucking stupid is that? Why don't you just silently observe like the fact that it's happened and then do something different on TV organically rather than coming on TV? I don't understand how this even works in their brains. Like they said, oh, we're going to come on. We're going to talk about the hashtag. And the hashtag stemming from how she was unfairly scripted to lose a fake match. And then we're going to book her to win matches because we listen to the fans. That is fucking so dumb to acknowledge that on TV. And then also, as I said, the side of it where she comes on and has a botchy match. Because she's always been botchy. She's always been that way. She's never been good on the mic. She's no way in the top 10 or even 15 most attractive women there. Basically, she's not attractive to me. I don't want to get some black dude messaging me going, oh, you just don't like black women. There are some that I've come across this come through this company. Alicia Fox is not bad. It's just Naomi's not attractive, and she's not, and she can't talk, and she's botchy. Where's the hashtag come from? I don't understand where the big injustice is. She's lucky to have a job. There's loads of women in this company that are lucky to have a job. If they didn't do the whole, you know, women's revolution thing, there would be at least 10 of these girls without a job. Do you remember that video I sent you from NXT with that Mia Ling?
Which one? With the one with Rhea?
No, not with Rhea. The fatal four-way match they had the other week where that Tegan Nox, I think, won it.
Yeah.
And they were doing this spot where they had to jump on each other outside. One slid under the ring and the other one tried to catch the other one outside and the other one slid under the ring and missed it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
How much they missed the torpedo by.
Yeah, I do. And there's, you know, when the people hold with the little hashtag things and, you know, give Rodney a chance stuff, it's like, how many of the fucking guys don't get a chance? Just because there's less women, you think that they're all going to be out there? There's just jobbers in every phase of wrestling. So, I mean, there's tons of the guys that don't get fucking chances. But it's like, it is what it is.
But do you not get my point in terms of acknowledging the hashtag and now it doesn't make sense?
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay, we'll put her on TV for you, but doesn't mean she's going to get, you know, wins. Maybe it's just because we hadn't seen her on television.
Well, I mean, that's not what it was. She was on television. The fact is that episode was talking about her usage in the karaoke competition, and then it came about after she lost to Lacey, as in to say, oh my God, she's too good to lose to Lacey Evans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I said, two people that I wouldn't even have in my company, to be honest. I don't understand how these people... I don't understand how they have jobs, because they need the bodies to go through with their revolution, so-called revolution. But you could have a revolution by having all the women on one show, unifying the belt, and keeping like a division of 8 to 10 people that are really good. You know, it's a combination of characters that have got themselves over, like Alexa, who's not particularly great in the ring, but she has got herself over because she talks really good and she looks good. You could like do something with the Iconics where one wrestles and one manages and they both talk or whatever. I can understand why you'd keep those, especially if you need tag teams. Sasha, Bailey, Charlotte, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, even though she's botchy, she does bring something to the table because she's so big, and I like what she did on Raw. And it's difficult for me to like just pluck out names on the spot, but like I what I'm saying is that keep it small and keep it on one show and make that show more special, and don't need to hire all of these people. There's people on NXT that literally cannot wrestle. No matter how much you train them, they're never ever going to get it. They're not going to understand how to do this. Billy Kay could train for 5 more years with fucking Chris Benoit, and she wouldn't learn. She wouldn't be any better.
Well, Chris Benoit doesn't move as well as he used to. What did you think of the big push for Big E with his whole new character and new music and everything coming out?
You know what? I didn't even notice the new music.
No. That's the joke. He's exactly the same.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought I missed something.
It's like, oh my God, he's got new music and a new character? No. No difference. And I was very disappointed that they did that, that they was just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, they did that with Kofi. He didn't change. He was himself.
Was picked up on by a 9-year-old, or 8-year-old at the time.
And I understand trying to keep Big E to show his personality, because at least he has a personality now with, you know, the stuff that he's doing, instead of just, I'm going to have a hard face and go beat everybody up. So I do get that. There's almost a fine line. They need to have him have a personality but not be fucking goofy, I guess. So you could show you have something, but you don't need to be, you know. He rolls down the ramp still. He lays down and he rolls down the ramp.
Well, that apparently was a dig at Booker T, who said that if Big E's going to be a single star, that he needs to change this, that, and the other. But instead, apparently what they did was they trolled him by being even more stupid, which is fine. Like, if that's your main focus in life, is terms to troll people, that's fine. But otherwise, I would have fucking listened to what he said, because he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you needed to come out and go more along the lines of the 5 character, etc. Plus, you needed to beat Miz in 2 minutes. Like, you did not need to go through an ad break. If you're serious and you're a monster and you want to transition into something where you're saying that, yeah, I was in that tag team and I enjoyed being around those guys, but actually on my own, if it's just me and taking out the tag team element of it, I win quick. I win like a fucking monster. Like, I beat people like The Miz in 2-3 minutes. There's just too much overselling with the whole thing, with the leg and all that shit, and going through the ad breaks. And it's like, he just looks like a normal guy who he lucked at. It was almost like he was the underdog against The Miz, which is definitely not what you should have done. That's not what I would have done anyway. I would have had him win much quicker. I would go on a win streak where, maybe if you think Miz is credible because he's an ex-champion, then don't put him in there with The Miz. Like, have him beat other guys first more quickly and then work up to The Miz, and even then win that match quickly. But at least Miz doesn't look bad, because he was the 7th or 8th opponent in line. So when he gets beaten in 5 minutes, he doesn't lose anything. I can't even believe I'm even talking about this company protecting people, because they don't protect anyone. So why not just go all in on Big E and have The Miz beaten? I mean, Miz and Morrison, they have their like fucking shtick with their videos and their promos and, you know, all these jokes and things that they make. So they always get built back up. There'll still be comedy heels who win sometimes, but, and they'll always be at that level. It doesn't hurt them if you job them out easily to Big E on his way up to The Fiend, which is where I would think that, this is why I would think that they're doing this emergency thing, because The Fiend is going to need opponents from September. And I would think that Big E would be one of them. And I would think Kofi would be one of them. I would think the New Day all feud The Fiend, you guys can all look forward to, through the winter. I would think that would be what they do with him. And that's what I think this is. So I even think Kofi will be singles guy when he comes back.
So since we're just about halfway through, let's finish out SmackDown with the big ending, when you had Nikki Cross and Bayley, and Nikki's getting frustrated now and she's pissy. Like, Alexa goes to help her up and she's pissed off and pushes Alexa to the ground, and then The Fiend shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is a lot to do with everybody saying, oh, that was that from the Swamp thing where we saw Alexa as a, you know, devilish type? Do you think people said, oh, this could be fucking good if we actually really did have them team together and she was a little possessed? Or is it just the fact that, okay, Fiend is fucking with her because he knows that Strowman is into her, and this is a way to get Strowman to come out? Or do you do you think they're going to try to get her to be Sister Abigail, so to speak?
Sister Abigail, for those of you that remember, or for those of you that don't remember, more like, she died, and her ashes or whatever were buried underneath the whatever it was.
That house, that shack.
Yeah, but it was the not the Firefly Funhouse, the thing that he had before.
Yeah, the shack in the woods.
Did that not have a name?
I don't think it had a name. Not that I know. I just compound. Know she was dug
compound.
Up.
The white compound. It did have a name.
Oh, they called it the compound, like David Koresh or something?
It was definitely Wyatt compound. Wyatt compound is in my head. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, I mean, it's been said, sure.
All right, so the Wyatt compound was burnt down by Randy Orton, and Bray was upset because Sister Abigail's ashes were underneath it. So if she is back, there is no storyline consistency at all, because I thought that Bray would be sort of writing the story down in his own head, or telling people that, okay, so this is the story of Bray Wyatt, and this is where the hillbilly Bray Wyatt came from, and this is his background. And I thought there would be a what's it called in comic books where they have a where they tell you the story afterwards.
Oh, is it epilogue?
Origins.
Okay.
Origins. Yeah, I thought there would be an origin story to like Bray Wyatt. So like one day they could bring out an origins comic. In terms, my mind is really not switched on today. Like I'm usually like much better at knowing what I'm trying to say or understanding what the meaning of things. I think
it's not 4 a.m. for you. You have no excuse.
I think this sickness is like I had. It's like knocking me sideways in terms of my mindset. But yeah, origin story is what I meant. So I'd always thought maybe one day down the line, if they could almost bring out a comic book where, like Superman, Batman, everybody has their origin. We know Batman's origins is that his parents were killed and he wanted to be Batman to avenge crime. The Krypton shit with Superman and all that. DC have better origin stories than Marvel. We don't seem to care about them that much, apart from Spider-Man being bitten by a spider, etc. But, that's not true, actually. I know all the origins.
All right, let's go.
I know all the origins. Now I'm thinking about all the origin stories. I do know them, but I just think that the DCs are more famous. But yeah, my point is that I always thought there would be an origin story for Bray, and Bray would be kind of keeping tabs on it in terms of going, no, he can't do this, can't do that. So yeah, if she's Sister Abigail, that's one thing. But I think maybe there's only two ways to go for it. She won't be Sister Abigail, but maybe she could be somebody who is turned by Bray and now is like hypnotized or whatever, in terms of like she's aligned with Bray against her will and Bron has to rescue her. Or this is just a one-off thing and she just goes off TV for a week or two and then Bron comes back. That's it.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that's the more of what they're going to do.
It was good, though. I liked seeing what happened at the end. It was worth it. I mean, to see Alexa Bliss get fingered in that was something.
Getting into Raw, the biggest thing, of course, is all of a sudden the first rule of Raw Underground is we don't talk about Raw Underground. Because obviously they're doing Fight Club, and even down to the point to where we saw outside their group like lighting things on fire and doing like anarchist type of stuff, which was like, if this didn't remind you of Fight Club from the beginning, this is even more. I mean, Fight Club's one of my favorites, and so as soon as I see that they're creating fire.
But why are they doing this? Like that? Like
I don't know.
Where did this come? This wasn't even promoted in terms of something that they were doing. And how does this come about to do MMA, to do UFC's thing with
fake MMA?
Where does that come out as a good idea?
You know, it's hard for me to right off the bat say, fuck this sucks. I don't like doing that. I like to see where things might go and what might happen. So I'm like, okay, well, give it a chance and see if this is a way for people to get themselves known better or lead into something else? Like, this is a little stepping area in to get into something else, and it's for everybody. Like, we saw Ziggler in there, which it was okay. Well, we know he's a real wrestler. Which was funny because he beats a guy at the end, right? And then he's standing in the ring because it's always, well, who's coming in next to face the guy who just won? Lashley gets in there and Ziggler like waves his hand at him like, fuck off, and leaves. So I'm like, did you just lose a little bit of credibility because you ran away?
Yeah, I didn't understand that side of it either. I have no idea.
I like Shane being back. I've always enjoyed Shane around. So
you're the only person.
I am the only person because I love Shane and I want him to stick around. And I always feel he's better for the company when he's there. I'm like, fucking, I feel he has a fresh.
Even if Shane is delivering nothing, like in terms of if it's something like this, you'd still rather him be there than not.
I would. And at the same time, this is the very first thing we've ever seen. And I always go back to when everybody said, what the fuck is this Wyatt shit? When it was the Firefly Funhouse. Everybody was pissed. This is garbage. And they said, let it go. Let's see what happens. It's very...
Okay, but that's very different, Cav. Like, in terms of like where you're saying, let that go, because that had layers to it in terms of...
We didn't know that, though. We didn't know it from the beginning.
Right, we didn't know the Fiend was going to come, but we knew that this couldn't have been something that this wasn't going to be the end of it. Like, in terms of you had to see,
everyone thought he was going to be Mr. Rogers at one point, and they were like, "What the hell is this?" And it's like, "Well, let's see what the hell happens."
They thought different things, but it had to develop. There is no way to go with this. This is flat out guys fighting out on the mat. There's nowhere to go with it. It's just the Hurt Business have come in and beat people up. They didn't even tell that story with a few weeks where they could have had this for a couple of weeks and then. The Hurt Business came. There's so many conflicting parts to it. I can understand the only parts where you're right with that statement are the parts where they're blowing up shit backstage in terms of
anarchism and all that shit.
Yeah, in terms of the anarchy and chaos. But even in that sense, like that sort of says to me that Shane is doing this against the will of the company and his guys are.
So could this be like a fucking NWO Nexus or somebody taking over?
Okay. That's what I was thinking. But how can you do that now when you advertise Raw Underground through your announcers throughout the entire show? It wasn't a takeover. Mm-hmm. It was like advertised throughout the show. Shane was there as an advertised person. There was an announcement made on .com, which made me only actually want to watch Raw live, but I fell asleep watching something else before it. So I watched it this morning. And it doesn't make any sense. You can't... They're handcuffed now to everything. This cannot be... a Shane-led invasion because they advertised the underground stuff. This cannot be anything other than underground fights because they've just done underground fights and there's nowhere to go with underground fights other than the fact that winner stays on, Bobby Lashley's in there and then somebody comes along and beats Bobby Lashley. But the thing is that you also show Ziggler winning, one of the Viking Raiders winning, and that Babatunde was in a dominant position as well. So unless the dominant people then come together into some kind of mini tournament, which again, that's not evolution. That's just difference. That's just taking the idea in a different route. It's not evolving the idea where this ends up being some sort of overriding story. The invasion is dead already through the advertising, and the guys that were the anarchists, they got run off by the Hurt Business, so they're already at a lower level in terms of intimidation, etc. So. Everything's wrong with this, like in terms of being able to move forward, other than the fact that it was a 1 or 2 week thing that they're going to do, and the evolution of it will be that one person or two people emerge out of this as a star.
It reminded me of a choreographed brawl for all right off the bat. That was the first thing I said, oh, okay, this is the tough man contest, but bullshit. Which is real interesting because with no ropes or anything to hold you in, you just fall off the fucking ring. Like the one guy charged and he had to kind of stop and slide because he would have flew off the edge of the ring. But when it comes to invasion stuff like that, like you say, sure, you can't do that whole office surprise invasion. But then again, they could be doing this and gradually evolve to them all talking with each other. Because if they do it like Fight Club, you notice like Fight Club didn't hate each other. They enjoyed just beating the shit out of each other and they were friends. So eventually they could all start talking together and say, you know, we should go in there and fucking take over this thing or something. I mean, it is wrestling and it's, you know, movie stuff. So anything's possible. You could pretty much do whatever the fuck you want. Other things that were going on. How about the poisoning of Montez Ford?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were doing something where he had COVID, which would have been better, I think.
I didn't even think about that. And then I was like, oh, look, the chick from The Bachelor is on here? What the fuck is going on?
I didn't know who that was. Did you know who that was?
I did know who that was because I watched The Bachelor.
Is she famous?
She's been on a few different ones, and she's known to... she's even said, she goes, oh, I'm very promiscuous. She likes to fuck around. So I was like, maybe she's actually banging some people backstage. But she's a cute little thing, that's for sure. But I was like, is she sticking around? Or is this just she happened to be in town? I don't know how she's involved at all.
I can't imagine that she becomes a character or anything.
Yeah, I was like, when I saw her, I was like, fuck, she's familiar. And then she said her name, and I was like, oh, shit, that's her. Her mother was in jail for fraud or, like, embezzlement or something like that. Like,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all kind of shit going on with her. But she's a personality, that's for sure. She got a personality to her, so she's not just a stick of wood. So I guess the first thing, like, what I did is I was behind because I was putting something together, for my show. So I was behind on the show. I paused it and did what I had to do. So I'm trying to catch up. You know, you fast forward commercials. When I see, okay, it's time for the singles tag team people to go, I'm fast forwarding the whole time. I fast forward and I'm like, oh, fuck, he's laying there dead. What happened? I had to rewind. And I was like, oh, was this the Shawn Michaels thing where he's like, you know, concussed and exhausted or something, and he faints, and then find out, okay, well, I thought they were really going to have Bianca run to the ring when he passed out, too, to try to make it real.
Do you not feel like Brother Love is running through all of his old playbook in terms of this is what we did then, like what's old is new again, and I'm going to just use everything I've ever done.
I can see that. I do see it. But at the same time, I'm like we said, we're starving. So if you see a piece of pizza that's on the fucking street, you're happy to have it. I don't need a brand new delicious piece. I'm fucking starving. So we're getting different things, even with the fucking underground. It's different. We're getting something. Because it's been nearly unbearable what we've had to deal with. So I'm like, I'm happy to take something, and there's a story. That's what I care. There is a fucking story. Liv and Ruby Riot. There was a fucking, there's something going on. That's all I'm really asking for at this point.
I thought the show was paced out better than usual. My interest waned at certain periods, but they're always the same kind of periods. I can't even remember what was at the start of Raw.
Apollo.
The start was bad because I mean he came back and he obviously needed to do that match and whatnot, but I think the start was slow in terms of going from Apollo down to the Kevin Owens show, etc. But I think from Drew and Randy onwards it was a little bit better, and then we had a stalling point where we had the tag match divided into singles. So there were obviously points, but I agree with you in terms of something you said last week in terms of cut this show up into 2 hours and you take out those tag matches and you take out, I mean, you can't take out Apollo and MVP. There's a storyline that needed to be turned around. I mean, I thought it'd be better if he took both those belts and decided to keep the one he had originally. And put MVP's bin in the fucking belt in the trash.
Oh my god!
But he's like, oh, I'm going to give this to my, I'm going to hang this one up for my in my kid's bedroom. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you can do, it will cost you like $300 to get that done anyways. You could have just bought that title. Obviously, you're not making enough money as the US champ. You need to win King of the Ring because you get millions for that. It's a barrel of cash. But what did you think of Drew and Randy Orton? I thought that Drew seemed moany at first, like in terms of this is not babyface-ish to cry about how much Randy Orton's been given, because it's very much been done before. And then Orton came out and I felt answered everything correctly, going, yeah, so what? Like, I'm fucking good. I'm better than you. I get. And I thought Drew was in a fucking corner there where Orton had won the segment. But then when Drew said, I'm going to do all this stuff for all these people that you've been a prick to and you're a selfish prick, I thought it turned it around. Well, my idea was better, what I said to you this week, and sent you even a video of, in terms of what they could have do something different. But we got nothing different. We got basic wrestling stuff, but it was carried by two people that can talk. That was my takeaway.
I thought it was very good. And you're right about that. They have done it before where they just say Orton's been given shit. That's been said 1,000 times. But I thought I was very happy with how they did it, actually. And I was going to message you, but like we said, we don't like to talk about anything before the show. But I was going to say, wow, they didn't fuck this up. And the fact that he said, okay, have your own opinion. Let's hear what you have to say. And calling him a prick and pretty much saying truthful shit. Like, you've had all these fucking chances, should have been fired, but I was fired. So you're right about the whiny part, but I didn't pick up that it was whiny when it happened until you have said it.
I thought he got out of it well. Because I thought, if you're going to whine, and then Orton comes out and says, yeah, that's what happens in life. Like, mm-hmm. people do it better. Like, in terms of Colin Kaepernick doesn't get a team because he kneeled, because he's not there. But if Colin Kaepernick
was Brady, he would have got a shot.
I mean, I was going to use the oh my god, this is a perfect example of how things are not working in my head at the moment. The quarterback of Kansas City Chiefs,
Mahomes. Yeah.
Yeah, right. If Mahomes takes a knee, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
and he ends up getting another team, no problem. So that's the Orton Drew thing there, in terms of saying, well, you will have no use to us, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes is more useful than Colin Kaepernick. That's why he would be able to get away with what he did. And that's the difference. That's what Orton's was saying, almost, that I'm the... They should have even used that analogy, but it may be too controversial. But yeah, that's what you're saying. So that's why I felt like, well, Drew, you said all this shit, and Orton just told you why that happened, and he's actually right. But then Drew had the comeback, which saved it at the end and had the last word. So... yeah, my opinion of that segment changed minute by minute as it went on. I felt it was fine in the end.
So we'll do a couple speed round things to be done with this show, because we're only a minute away. Nia Jax, you enjoy?
Yeah, I said that I enjoyed that earlier. The women's belt thing, I mean, this is a good stall. Everything they've done with Sasha Bailey at Oscar, I mean, it wasn't particularly satisfying for people in terms of the way it was done, with Kyrie just getting her head banged against the fence, etc. But I think this is all a decent enough stall in terms, if you were going to turn around and go, Sasha and Bayley built up for a long time, needs to be in front of fans, mm-hmm. was going to be at SummerSlam, but now we want to make this even longer, maybe even potentially get it to Mania, I think you're doing all the right things. It is like on the fly booking, but it is better than, you know, it's not better than what? I mean, it's good enough. Not better is not the right word. It's good enough to stall. I don't mind it.
And a very small mention, the triple threat for the 24/7 title. I am shocked, and I don't know why, but that they would take the belt so quickly off of Shelton Benjamin if they're like pushing him with this hurt fucking club bullshit.
Well, I think maybe that's it in terms of that belt doesn't really belong there. So I think it's maybe a committee. I'm surprised.
Because you can't hold that for that long without being a goofy.
No, and I just don't think they should have even put it on him in the first place. This is the thing. I envision Raw as being an atmosphere of a lot of rewrites and changing ideas, etc. And now you can see that throughout the whole show. where Garza and Andrade are breaking up 1 week, and then a few weeks later, like, they're a tag team again, and this whole sickness thing with Montel Ford. Like, we'll see where that goes. I mean, but as I said, stuff is happening, so I'll just take it for now. I wasn't entirely bored. I was actually happy watching that show and interested for 60 to 70% of it.
Most importantly, what did you think? The most important thing that happened on this show is, what did you think of Sasha's dress?
I didn't really know. I knew she had a tight black dress, right?
Yeah, skin tight, baby. Skin tight.
Yeah, but we already know, like, that she's hot when she comes out to the...
It's amazing the difference because of the blue hair.
All the blue hair, black hair, I mean, all the stuff, everything, every time this woman's, like, photographed or she wants something to put out publicly, her public persona is that she's a hot girl. But she's a very weird one because, I mean, you get Mandy or anyone, or, you know, or Peyton or any of these in real life situation, and there's not going to be a huge difference. It's not going to be a power through. Whereas I think there's days where you catch Sasha, like, waking up in the morning, and I think it'd be a power through job. But it's certainly not the case for the... It's weird, because she, for me, at the moment, is easy in the top five. Yeah. But I think everybody else in that top five would be consistent, like, 24-7 in terms of, like, we're talking Sasha... Sorry, not Sasha. We're talking Mandy Rose, Peyton, Scarlett, Paige, who's not even with the company at the moment. Where's Lana gone now? Like, now...
Well, didn't she... She had the fucking COVID...
Rusev's.
Rusev had it, and Lana's mother had it, so they're probably like, hey, Lana, stay the fuck home. And I guess the last thing we'll talk about real quickly is that old Dominic is getting a match at SummerSlam. That's something to actually speak of. Joe is so good when it comes to, like, getting in someone's face and being scary like that, and... I'm watching all the SummerSlams, you know, I'm almost done. And it's always the big talk. You think he has a chance, but always loses. So it kind of kills him. But, oh, I thought he was fucking fantastic when he got up there and, like, defended Phillips and said, you ain't doing shit, you know?
Yeah. He's weird because his career is a similar path in a shorter time span than Dolph Ziggler's in terms of being built up for title shots and being a good performer and stuff, but never getting the belt. But the thing is that Joe's totally injury plagued, so I think they know that he can talk and deliver. And just immediately you watch this segment, right, and you're thinking, if they were, and now they're not, they're going to do a singles match, but if they were going to build towards Aleister Black teaming up with Dominic to take on Murphy and Rollins instead of this singles match, which is what I thought they were going to do, because it's singles matches, super risky thing to do. It's more intriguing, but it is risky. Then Joe would be the guy who slots in as the partner, because he's just he just eclipses Black in seconds. So whereas, like, you know, the internet is more likely to side with Heyman over Bruce Pritchard and say that, oh, Heyman's right about everything and he shouldn't have been fired and Pritchard's terrible and all that, and both are terrible, actually, because I didn't think Heyman was particularly good during his time, and I do think that he's very overrated and gets a lot of passes for what he did in ECW. Even the stuff with Brock is repetitive over the last few years, so I'm not a guy that's going to blindly come out and say Heyman has all the answers, but in this instance he definitely didn't, because pushing this CM Punk that can't talk that well and he's half a goth, but he's also a Rey Mysterio's fan and he's growing up, and it's like, what are you? I don't even know what you are. They messed up this character. They did mess up this character. The company messed up this character themselves compared to what it was in NXT. But he has done himself no favors when he gets the TV time and then Samoa Joe just out-talks him in about 30 seconds, and you're thinking to yourself, this is what I want to see. I want to see Joe get back involved with Seth and Buddy Murphy and help this kid and mentor this kid. It's a much better story. I mean, he's even better than his own dad, but at least Ray has the family connection to Dominic, so it's legit. But Joe definitely would be the one who comes in, and he's unfortunate that he's so badly injured and his body's, like, made of glass, because he could have, like, really been...
What's wrong with him now?
Oh, I just think they decided that just to keep him on commentary. I think he had another shoulder injury or whatnot that he may have recovered from. But yeah, it's just one thing after the other. It kind of feels like I do at the moment, where it's fucking one thing after another.
Join the fucking club.
Jesus Christ. What's up with you?
Oh, God. I got to get a shoulder fixed. I got to get a knee fixed. And now my other arm, I have a pinched nerve, I know, that's going on because, like, the strength in my left arm is falling apart. And it tingles at times. I got to go to a chiropractor. I'm a fucking wreck.
Oh, that's it. I lost about 25% strength returning to the gym. And then when I went to the gym, after I went to the gym last week, I couldn't move my body. I couldn't move.
Oh, you guys have gyms over there. I don't know what one of those is anymore.
Well, it was no fucking good because after the first workout, I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back for the entire week. So I decided just to bite my tongue and just go back yesterday because I felt slightly better. The pain isn't quite there today, but because these medications that they put me on during the COVID period, they said I was stressed. And they told me to wean off. They said I have to wean off the medication and start my acupuncture. Well, acupuncture is shit because it doesn't do anything. I'm coming off this medication. My headaches have come back. I've got pins and needles in my arm. My stomach doesn't know what the fuck's going on because the medicine was constipating me and making me look like a fat motherfucker. And now I still look like a fat fucker, but I'm like watering out shit every 2 hours or so. So I don't know what these people have done. I don't understand how you can be doctors over the phone at the moment, but this needs to fucking stop because, like, I know there's a virus going around that's really dangerous and kills 0.03% of people, but, like, people are fucking sick of other things, and I would like to see a fucking doctor so I know what's going on with my stomach, my head, my arms, my body, and generally everything else that's going on. I don't want to be. And the thing is, you phone them up, Cav, and they just go, oh, right, okay. Well, I'll prescribe you this, and I'll prescribe you that.
They give you a Z-Pack.
Dude, like, you got to see this. I'm going to just go on FaceTime for 1 second, and we'll close the show out. It's just so fucking interesting to see.
All right, we're going to see what's going on with Billy. Let's see.
This is the amount of stuff they've given me.
Jesus Christ. He's got
this. And this hasn't even got my amitriptyline in. What's this? This is naproxen. This is a pain.
Midol. What is this?
This is propranolol, which is supposed to, like, control your blood flow for possible blood pressure, which they didn't even diagnose. This is to calm me down.
Oh my God, calms, it's called.
This is for pressure headaches.
Sudafed, yeah.
They said my tinnitus may be caused, they said take motion sickness medicine for my tinnitus.
Ibuprofen gel. Asthma. Inhaler.
This hasn't even opened.
Vicks vapor rub.
nasal sprays. What else they give me? Where's the antihistamine?
You're gonna die with all that shit.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. They'll give me more stuff to kill me. Like, this is an antihistamine, which when I told one doctor I was on that, he even said they don't know what they're doing.
Jesus.
So yeah, it's fucking so stupid. They're just like, and this is good old Tylenol, which I didn't know what PM stood for, and I was like falling asleep.
Oh my God.
I remember telling you.
I didn't know what PM stood for.
All right, so we're over again.
So we're done.
We were posting to the correct time.
Exactly. So we're 10 minutes over. It's still not an hour. So to close everything out, you could see all of my nonsense is at Lingus Mafia. That's Instagram and Twitter, and you could come join our nonsensical show on Tuesdays that has fucking nothing to do with wrestling, thank God. Billy, where can we find your nonsense?
The website is thedirtysheets.com. Going to be posting up more content this week. I just need to get through my soccer stuff because I've got loads of Champions League and Europa League to do. I've just been given a new feed. I'm still at Sports Gambling Podcast Network, but it's now also the Soccer Gambling Podcast. It's a new podcast. I mean, the top 30 in the world, actually, for the first week that it came out. Just because they really do consider factoring downloads and iTunes reviews and things, and I said to all my people, if you've given me a review before, please give me another one, because it's a brand new thing. And yeah, if you guys could do that too, five star only, soccer gambling podcast. Otherwise, I'm on Russo's show. Did a bit on YouTube on Wednesday with Austin as well, which was quite fun to do because he was at home with his broken foot. And I did a whole thing with Austin and Russo. And then obviously you can get that show over at Russo's Patreon. But yeah, that's all the main places to find me. All my other betting websites, lockbetting.com, if you want to get all your betting tips. All the sports are back. We're doing well with the MLB, NBA, doing best at KBO, the Korean baseball. We're still doing it because we did so well with it, so we're keeping it in the rotation. And obviously soccer and WWE as well. Get your betting picks in for SummerSlam. There's already odds out. But in major pay-per-views like Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, the odds come out weeks ahead, so you can catch some decent value with that.
All right. We will see you next week, and let's see if they evolve when it comes to being underground or how they... second week, I think, will tell. So we will see what's going on at that point. For Mr. Billy Body, I'm Cav Manning.
We're out of time.